When Benjamin Franklin was the ambassador to France from the United States, he occasionally attended the Infidels Club, which was an atheist book club. One time he took the Book of Ruth, changed the names, changed it a little bit so it became indistinguishable, and then he read it to this Infidels book club. They were impressed. They thought, this is a beautiful story. And were quite dismayed when they found out that it came straight out of the Bible. So the Book of Ruth is an interesting book because it gives us what you rarely see, just a glimpse of the ordinary, everyday people and their life in Judea. In Judges, which is the setting of Ruth is in the Book of Judges, we focus on disobedience and judgment and wars and rumors of wars and repentance and all kinds of things that are going on and these problems on a national scale. When we do that, it's easy to overlook the normal everyday events that the average person goes through. And so tucked away in Scripture, God gives us this touching love story which has eternal importance. We're going to look briefly at the story. You remember the story, but I want to bring it back and we'll review it and then have a couple lessons that come out of it. Now, when it came about in the days when the judges governed, there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of this man was Elimelech and his wife Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They're Ephraimites of Bethlehem in Judea, and they entered the land of Moab and remained there. One of the things that we need to realize about Elimelech is we think that he was probably a wealthy man. There are a couple things that relate to that. One is if you look in verse 21 of chapter 1, Naomi says, I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. That fullness, we're not sure whether it's talking about material wealth and things or whether he's talking about because she came in with a husband and two sons and they had all died in the 10 years that they were there. But more than that, for somebody to just pick up and move 50 miles away in the middle of a famine was not something that just everybody could do. You had to have wealth stored up in order to do that, because for an Israelite to go in the land of Moab and expect to find a job would have been a difficult thing to do. And so there, you know, not many people would probably want to hire Israelites there who'd be seen an insider and outsider and really as an enemy. And so he had to have a certain amount of resources saved up. And so there's a sense that he was probably a wealthy man and a very noted man. We'll see that again in just a minute. It says here that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with two sons. And they took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of one was Orpah. Now remember, when we talked about Gideon, we had the name Ophrah, the town. And here we have the name, I have to say it correctly, Orpah. None of them are Oprah. Okay? So we don't find Oprah in Scripture, but we do find Ophrah and Orpah in Scripture. So these are Orpah and Ruth, and they married the sons of Naomi. It's interesting as you go through the Book of Ruth, especially here, there's not judgments or evaluation placed on this family. They should not have been moving to Moab. They should not have been taking foreign wives for the wives of the sons. But it just, they tell the story with facts. They don't come in and say, you know, this should not have been done. But, and some of it may have been, some of the loss of them may have been part of just a result of their disobedience. Mahlon and Chilion then die. And Naomi is bereft of her two children and her husband. A time of deep grief there. It says they were there for 10 years, and Elimelech must have died early on in that, and then the two boys probably not too long after that. But they died, and she decided she better go. So she hears that the famine in Israel is done, and so she's going to go back and move back. But now she has two daughters-in-law, so she goes to them and she says, you know, it's better for you to stay here. I'm going to go back, but the prospects of you have a future in Israel and not very good because you're Moabite women. And you're better off here with your family and surroundings and the support system, and you're better here. And she takes the two daughters-in-law, and they say, no, we're not going to go back. And then she implores upon them to go back. And then Orpah decides to go back, and Ruth decides not to. And Ruth, you see in verse 15, verse 14, they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, and her gods returned after your sister-in-law. And Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following. Ruth has this determination streak, and this might be part of the name of Ruth, is people named Ruth have this determination streak. I don't know that, but it could be. I'll leave that to your evaluation, judgment. But Ruth says, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. I think through this process of living with this family for 10 years, or however long, probably 6 to 8 to 10 years, she had come to embrace the God of Israel as her God. And she said, your God is my God. I want to follow. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse if anything, but death parts you and me. So she commits, she's determined to go, and she goes and returns to Bethlehem. So they went, came up to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, all the cities stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? This is important because when we talk about Elimelech as probably being a wealthy man, a noted man, that's the impression we get here too. When she comes back into town, it's not like somebody kind of just coming in and, you know, they'd be gone for 10 years and they kind of come in and sit down. It's like, I don't know, Dick and Sue Fuller walking in and everybody's stirred because of their presence. It's a sense of notoriety. And so there's a sense in which we probably understand here that Elimelech and Naomi were known by the whole town in Bethlehem, and they're excited to have her back. And she says, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. She comes back a broken woman. And you can imagine the grief. She leaves with a husband and two sons, probably wealth and all that. She comes back basically with nothing. And she says, God has, he says, the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned with her daughter Moab, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So you have this sense in which there's a brokenness that comes about here. Then, so that's Ruth's loyalty we see, and that's a wonderful statement of loyalty, and you'll see that different places where people say, you know, here's a commitment I have to stay with you and to follow you and to be with you. Then in chapter 2, we see Naomi's resourcefulness. So Ruth goes out immediately, says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. This is not tied to the verse after. This is just an introductory statement, because we'll see in a minute that those two are not tied. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whom sight I have may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. What is the characteristic of one who gleans? Who said that? Poor. They were poor. They couldn't find a better job. So here you have Ruth, the Moabite, is coming in, and she probably could not even get a job at McDonald's because she was a Moabite, and they didn't hire foreigners. And so she says, what job can I do? So she's very resourceful. She says, I can find something that I can do to help support my mother-in-law and I. And so she goes out and does that, and she gleans among the ears of the corn. And of course, the history there, they were told in the Old Testament earlier in the Law of Moses that when they harvested and things fell down, they weren't supposed to pick those up. They're supposed to leave them because the poor could come after them and pick those up, and that's a way that they could earn a living, so that you didn't have a welfare state. You had people able to go out and earn a living at whatever level they're at. And she realizes that, and she takes that as her job. She goes out, departs, and verse 3, I love this. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened to come. There's an irony. There's kind of a sarcasm almost in that phrase, because that was God directing her. God directed her to his field. She didn't know who Boaz was. She just went out to the field and saw it. She began to glean there. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said, may the Lord bless you. So he sees this woman out there gleaning and said, what young woman is this? She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. Everybody knew about Naomi, about Ruth. And it says here, thus she came and has remained from the morning till now. She's been sitting in the house for a little while. She's a hard worker. So Boaz goes to her, and you see the characteristic of Boaz. Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you when they are thirsty. Go to the water jars and drink from the servants' draw. So he's he knows about Ruth. He knows the commitment she has made as a Moabite woman to come back with her mother-in-law, and he rewards her for that, and he shows kindness. He calls her his daughter, which probably indicated the age difference between the two. He was an older man. He was probably the same age about as Elimelech, so he would be the age of her father-in-law. But he comes and he shows her kindness, says, you stay in my field and you gather here and you take care, and we'll take care of you here. And then in verse 11, Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been carefully reported to me, in how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. And he says, I've noted who you are, your resourcefulness, your dedication, your loyalty to your mother-in-law, and that you've come to stand by her. And he said, I'm going to reward you for that. So at mealtime, he provides for her, and you see that, you know, he takes special care to see that she's taken care of. And so she goes home. She's got a great harvest going home. And when she gets home with this harvest, Naomi recognizes that she's pulled in quite a haul there. And she said, something must have happened for you to be so successful. So Ruth reports to Naomi what happens, and Naomi says to her, this man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives, or kinsman redeemer. And Ruth, the Moabite, said, further, he said to me, you shall stay close to my servants until they've finished my harvest. So basically, she said, got a job, and he invites her to stay there. So then Naomi, so this is a Ruthfulness, of resourcefulness. Then we have Ruth's redemption. In chapter 3, Naomi comes up with a plan. You could call it a scheme. Comes up with a plan about how to encourage Boaz to step in as a kinsman redeemer. He seems to not be aware of that relationship that he has with Ruth. What's interesting is his closer relationship is with Naomi. Because the relationship is you take care of your relation's wife, and Elimelech was really a closer relation to Boaz than Ruth was. But Naomi steps back and says, I'm not going to fulfill that. I'm going to give that up. I'm going to invite Ruth to go in and to kind of present herself as the one that he should be interested in and that he should redeem back. So he says, fix yourself up, go in, and he's going to lie down on the threshing floor. So it's out in public. There's nothing indecent about this whole thing, no impropriety here that is given. But she goes and says, go and find him. He's sleeping on the threshing floor next to the grain, probably to protect it and making sure somebody doesn't come in and steal it. And she lays down at his feet, and as he's sleeping, he feels something in his feet. I'm used to that. I've got a dog that sleeps at my feet. You know, both of us, and you know, you're just kind of, you know, what's that dog doing there? So he feels something there and realizes that she's there, and it startles him. He says, who are you? And he says, he must have not had his contacts in, because he says, who are you? Well, he knew it was Ruth. But anyway, he said, I'm Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. He said, you are my kinsman redeemer. Then he says, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. So he realizes that she could very easily have tried to pursue a younger man, but she chooses Boaz instead. And he says, that's a wonderful thing that you've done. And he said, I will make things right for you, and I will go before you. He says, now, my daughter, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you're a woman of excellence. Now, it is true, I'm a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. So he says, I will go and approach this relative closer than I, and I'll present this to him, the option of buying you and buying your land, because that's what the kinsman redeemer, the Levirate marriage was all about. He was taking that property that should have been Elimelech's, passed down to his sons, should have been kept in the family, but because all the men had died, who does that go to? And this was an option for somebody to go ahead and buy that and protect it for the family and protect it for Elimelech's family. And that's important. Because if somebody comes in and redeems it, that land does not become Boaz's land. It becomes Elimelech's, stays as Elimelech's land. It's still part of Elimelech's inheritance, not Boaz's inheritance. And that's what happens here. So he goes to this man and he says, I will not rest until you've settled it. And then in verse chapter 4, we see the marriage Ruth. So Boaz went up to the gate, sat down, and behold, a close relative whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he says, come on in, my friend. Let's sit down and let's talk about this. So he presents to him that Naomi has come back. He's going to sell a piece of land. It belonged to our brother Elimelech. This is not a pure brother. It's probably a cousin or something like that, because if it was a pure brother, everybody would know. Or a first brother, everybody would know. But it's probably a cousin or some kind of close relative. Like that. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders. You redeem it or redeem it. If you don't redeem it, then tell me, for there's no one but you to redeem it, and I after you. And he says, I'll redeem it. He says, sure, I'll buy that land. Then Boaz says, on the day you buy the field of the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess. By the way, what comes with this piece of property is Ruth the Moabitess. And he steps back and he says, I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself, and you may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. So he steps back and says, I can't do it. It's either because it wasn't going to be his inheritance, and it might jeopardize his, Or he's probably already married and he doesn't need another wife. And so for some reason, he steps back, decides not to take it. I want to step back just a minute. When we're going through the story of Jericho and Rahab, do you remember when Rahab went in, she was told by the spies, hang the scarlet thread outside the window, and that will be your salvation. And at that point, we talked about, people have talked about the scarlet thread, which runs all the way through Scripture. This is one of those places where we see that this concept of redemption made, and just pulls out and says, you know, he's our redemption. This is a picture of what Christ did for us. He came back and redeemed us, bought us back, and brought us into his inheritance. So this is one of those pictures, people, of our redemption, of Christ's redemption for us. So then he goes down and works out the deal. He says, Moab required Ruth, a Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers and from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. So they went in, they get married, and it says, and Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and she went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son, and that they live happily ever after. And God was the restorer of them. And the writer of Ruth is very important, very strong in saying, Naomi took the child and laid her in her lap and became a nurse. And the neighbor woman gave her a name, saying, the son will be born to Naomi. So they named him Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. And he became part of the royal line and part of the line of Jesus. Now, who was Boaz's grandma? Rahab. He was three quarters Jew. He was a quarter Canaanite. But she comes, and he comes, and he takes her and brings her in, and God uses that relationship and love there to really point out his love relationship with people. I want to just highlight a couple things as we close. One is, in the midst of the conflict and the national upheaval and all that's going on in the book of Judges, we have tucked away from this precious love story. God has created us to love and to be loved. And it's easy when you look at all that is going on and the national events and all the conflict that's going on there and the kings and the rising of kings and the prophets and all, it's easy to forget that in homes across Israel where this concept of being loved and being loved, and God calling people to cherish one another and to establish families. And then secondly, it's just to realize that God is actively involved in the lives of his people. And as we go through these national scenes, most of the people that we'll talk about are kings and prophets and all of that. But in the midst of all of that, God is touching in the lives of individual people and directing their paths and coming in and superintending for them. So that when she goes and she happens to be in Boaz's field, that's because God is working it. He uses the laws of protection of Levirate vow to bring in and to bring protection to this exemplary woman. He leads her route to Boaz's field. And so we realize that as we go through life, it's easy to get focused on all that's going on out there, but to realize that God cares about you and cares about me individually. He loves you and he loves me. And he's involved in our lives. Even if you're a Moabite woman who just happened to come into town and just showed loyalty to your mother in law, and God was there working in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your provision that you gave for Ruth. And just this example of your caring for people and loving just the individuals in an average family, and then bringing it about so that your son came out of that relationship. Thank you for caring for us, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.